May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The main point of Psalm 93, today's psalm, is found in the very first words. The Lord is King, an appropriate psalm for Christ the King Sunday. More literally, though, it's Yahweh, that is the God of Israel, reigns. But this king has an odd claim to fame, and we'll see that at the end in verse 6. To start off, the rule of three, an idea that I first discovered while doing comedy. It's a principle that suggests that a trio of events or characters is more humorous, satisfying, or effective than other numbers in execution of the story and engaging the reader. The reader or audience of this form of text is more likely to remember the information conveyed. This is because having three entities combines both brevity and rhythm with having the smallest amount of information to create a pattern. That sounds probably dense, but if you think about it this way, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, there's one of those rules of three. Or if you're listening to the commercials on Saturday night, Sunday, 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 for the monster truck rally. Why don't they say Sunday two times? Why don't they say it four times? There's something about that three repetition that gets into your head that makes you remember it a little bit better. In Psalm 93, we have a few of these repetitions. In verse 1, we have a triad of majesty. Again, the Lord is King. That's what sets the scene. He has put on splendid apparel. The Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself, or literally put on, strength. So three times you have the idea that God is putting on power and might. It's like taking, if you think of the story of David, the little boy who's just defeated this giant, and then saying, here you go, you're king. Here comes the helmet, here comes the staff. He's being outfitted, he's being shown to have power and glory and majesty. And how is this made shown true? Well, he's made the whole world so sure that it cannot be moved in verse 2. And ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting. So the picture is power and authority and majesty. That's the picture that the psalmist is trying to give us of Yahweh, the Lord King. But then there's also this triad of calamity. Verse 4, the waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. You feel the water, he's trying, standing on his tiptoes, trying to keep his head above water. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves. Three times we have this image of water getting ready to overwhelm, getting ready to swamp, getting ready to destroy. And in that time, the Israelites were not seafaring people. The Phoenicians and other folks, they traveled the Mediterranean. They did the exploring. The Israelites tended to stay on shore. They saw the sea of the Mediterranean Sea to be chaos and destruction. If there's anything to be feared, it was the sea. That being in the middle of Georgia might not ring true for us. Occasionally, the hurricanes. But growing up in Northeast Ohio, the picture that jumps out to me is that of a tornado. Northeast Ohio being kind of the end of Tornado Alley. You don't kind of get the same type of impact as Oklahoma and Kansas, but now and then something comes by and it can be very scary. I'm not sure why, but as a child, my parents felt that they should tell me about one of these tornadoes. It was a tornado that struck the city of Xenia, Ohio in 1974, one of the deadliest tornadoes in our nation's history, killing 32 people and injuring over 1,100. The tornado formed southwest of the city at about 4:30 p.m. And 10 minutes later, when the storm reached central Xenia, apartment buildings, homes, businesses, churches, and schools were destroyed. Students in the school practicing for a play took cover in the main hallway, seconds before the tornado dropped a school bus onto the stage that they had just been practicing on. Several railroad cars were lifted and blown over as the tornado passed over a moving freight train in the center of town. Imagine the terror of that. It toppled headstones and moved through the length of the downtown business district. Numerous businesses were heavily damaged or destroyed, and several people were killed at a restaurant as the building was flattened. If you think of terror, that is what comes to my mind. The terror that is there in the form of tornado was a terror that was there for the Israelites as the waters, thinking of the waters lifting up. And then this seems to keep getting bigger. We have another triad in verse 5. Mightier than the sound of the waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. What can be worse than this? It's getting worse, mightier, mightier. Mightier is the Lord who dwells on high. The same God who will later walk on the waters of the Sea of Galilee is the God who is mightier than the waters of the sea. And this king in verse 6 has this odd claim to fame. Many empires have various claims to fame. The British Empire, it was said, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Or you think of what else might be a claim to fame? Crowns and jewels. What is it when you think of power and majesty? What is it that you think of a king that says, wow, he is really something? In verse 6, it's not crowns, it's not jewels, it's not territories. The psalmist writes, your testimonies are very sure, and holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever and evermore. Here is God's true glory, not of mere strength, but of character, wholly reassuring and wholly demanding. And so we read this and we say, the Lord is King. And as Jesus taught his disciples, what is true of the Old Testament of God is true of him in the New Testament. And so we can not only say, the Lord is King, but we can say, Christ is Lord. But as N.T. Wright writes, but people say, as they have since the earliest days of Christianity, look out the window, read the newspapers. It's obvious that Christ is not yet fully reigning. Evil is still rampant. Is it true? Is it true that we've been left alone, unprotected, helpless, that our king, our sovereign, the one who we're supposed to obey, but the one who's also supposed to take care of us, has forgotten us? We've been abandoned to the waves, to the tornadoes of life? I don't know. I assume more than will be, I'll think, but our knowledge of the Statler Brothers, a singing group that via my grandparents I came to grow up with. It was one of the first times I heard a man sing so low that you could barely hear him. I mean, that kind of rhythm and music. And they have a song about Abraham in the Bible. And they're talking about how God loved Abraham and Abraham loved God and did all these miracles and all these wondrous things, and it isn't that great. And we get to the end. It says, it's a story to remember when your faith is growing dim, when you get tired and you say, I was different back then. But remember that they were only just men. It's a lesson for the learning, for the likes of you and me. Just have a little faith and you'll see. In the midst of our days and our weeks and our years, we can say, well, maybe the Lord was king back then. Sorry, I got my directions mixed. Back then. And maybe Christ is going to be Lord sometime in the future, but right now, I'm not seeing it. It doesn't make sense. People are dying around me who I love. People are getting sick. There's destruction. There's disease. There's wildfires. What gives? Where is God? Isn't he supposed to be in charge here? And yet he is. Just like taking again the example of the British Empire. Some person in a remote Asian village who's under the queen. I've never seen this queen. She's never done anything for me. Maybe she doesn't even really exist. Doubting the existence doesn't decrease the power, doesn't decrease the authority. And so Psalm 93, along with our reading from Revelation, where God says, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. So whether we see it or not, whether we experience it or not, it is true. And so we can proclaim that the Lord is King. We can proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord is the most basic creed of the church. It was a creed that you said before you got baptized. And it seems somewhat easy, three words, Jesus is Lord, okay, I'm in. But if you say Jesus is Lord, that then means that other things are not. Jesus, the man of Nazareth, is, not was, not will be, but is currently Lord, the ultimate ruler, the one to be honored and obeyed, the king whose care we are under. In the early days of the church in AD 160 in what's now modern Turkey, the authorities arrested a man 86 years old. He was a bishop with a funny name. His bishop name was Polycarp. They bring Polycarp, 86 years old, to the authorities. And it's demanded of him, swear, urged the proconsul, reproach Christ and I will set you free. All you have to say, Caesar is Lord. Three words, Caesar is Lord. Polycarp's response is incredible. 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and my savior? Perhaps today in your life it doesn't feel like the Lord is king. It doesn't feel like Christ is Lord. He is. And his lordship not only means that he's to be obeyed and that he's sovereign, but that he's caring for us, that he's taking care of us despite sickness, despite wildfires, despite disease, despite death. We can take faith in that. We can take trust in that. And we can sing in the words of Psalm 93, your holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever and evermore. Let us pray. Our King and our God, you're majestic beyond all that we can imagine. For not only do you have the power and the authority to control all that is, but you have the love for us to give up your life on the cross, to take our sins upon you as our sacrifice. And you have the power to not stay dead, but to be risen and ascend to the right hand of the Father, where you pray for us. You minister on our behalf. We thank you. As we go out this day, this afternoon, this week, may we always remember that you are Lord. You are King. There is nothing we need fear. But help us, Lord, not only to not fear, but to trust. to recognize that whatever is going on in our life, you are in control. And we can boldly confess that you are King and Jesus is Lord. Amen.